True repentance is more than merely turning from your sin. Here's Kelly Needham.
Repentance isn't primarily a turning away from something. It's what you're turning to. It's a returning to someone. And so to just flee the sin without fleeing to Christ is not actually repentance. It's just behavior modification. But it's in running to Jesus that is the primary goal, coming to Him. And that will sort out the sin issues. But without running to Christ, we've missed the point.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Brokenness, The Heart God Revives. For November 4th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. This week, we've been listening to a conversation between Nancy and Jimmy and Kelly Needham. Perhaps you know my friend Kelly from her writing or speaking or from her connection with Revive Our Hearts. And you might know Jimmy from one of his music albums. They talked yesterday about some of the hard things God has used to challenge them and shape them into who they are today. And they'll address a particularly painful issue they've encountered early in their marriage, pornography. And if you've struggled in that area, I hope you're encouraged today. And if you haven't, I think what they have to say will help all of us build better relationships. Let's listen.
Well, I'm so grateful for this opportunity we've had over the past few days to hear from Jimmy and Kelly Needham. Kelly's been connected in various ways with Revive Our Hearts for a number of years, and now I'm getting the chance to meet Jimmy, and I can see why the Lord put you two together. Mm-hmm. You're just a great combination. You have such mutual and shared respect for Christ and His Word and for each other. And it's been, we talked about yesterday, some of the hard things and the hard places that God has used to deepen your love and your oneness with Him and with each other. And you keep coming back to these bedrock, solid, foundational truths. In fact, as we were talking yesterday about the hard places, the thought that kept going through my head is something that I've said many, many times on Revive Our Hearts. Anything that makes me need Christ is a blessing.
Yes.
Anything that makes me need Him, we do need Him, but anything that makes me more aware of my need for Him is a blessing. And you guys get that.
Mm-hmm.
And how this is all intended to point us to Christ. And how in marriage, pointing each other not to I am the Savior, or I am the solution to your problems, or you are my Savior, you're the solution to my problems, but Christ is our Savior. And He is who and what and all that we ultimately need when it comes down to it. So I so resonate with the ways that you two look at life and family. And so much more we could talk about, but I want to take a little bit of a different turn today. And Jimmy, you've been very open. I've read blog posts that you've written, and we've actually linked to some of those posts on our website, reviveourhearts.com. But you've written pretty openly about a battle with pornography as a young man. And I want to unpack some of that story. I was just thinking, I don't know that in 18 years of doing this program that we've ever actually addressed this issue head on, not because we didn't want to or didn't think we should, but it's just not come up in this way. And I know this is a huge issue for many wives in their marriage. Kelly, I know you hear from some of those wives who have read what Jimmy has written or heard his testimony. And as we know, it's not just an issue that men struggle with, but one that you used to think of it more that way.
Right.
But something that is not uncommon now with women as well.
It's definitely not. It's, I think, statistically even shaping up to be almost an even men and women as far as percentage-wise. But there are a lot of young women that will share their struggles with pornography with me through our small group. And so it's definitely not just a man struggle, and it's a human struggle. Lust is a human problem, not a male or female problem. And so we all have an issue with it in some degree.
So we're going to go into some, you know, these are deep and difficult waters, but again, Christ is our Savior, and He came to deliver us from sin, to save us from sin. So we're not exalting this sin above every other sin or any other sin, but saying it's a very real trap, addiction, we could use that term, but ultimately bondage, slavery. And we don't want to be slaves to anything or anyone other than Christ. Mm-hmm. So let's just unpack some of this. If you have small children with you, you may want to get them busy doing something else while we have this conversation. But Jimmy, as you think back, I understand that it was at the age of 9 that you first got exposed to pornography.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your, did you grow up in a Christian home? What was the environment? And how did you first get exposed?
Yeah, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, though my parents were great parents, and they raised me and my brother well, but they were not Christians. And, you know, exposure for me, I think, I'd want to look this up, but I heard somewhere that, the average age of first exposure is around 8 or 9 anyways. And so my age of exposure wasn't all that dramatic or unusual. Yeah, it was some friends of mine who said, hey, there's a magazine buried under the rocks at the playground down the street. Let's go check it out. It was that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that really began for me a decade-long addiction to pornography that wouldn't end for me until I was 19 years old in college. I had been walking with the Lord for probably 4 years at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I became a Christian at 15. And, you know, it was a massive problem for me, and one that, especially when I became a Christian, it was really the first time it felt like a problem. You know, I became a Christian in the context of dealing with my pornography struggle. I knew something wasn't right, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. You know, and I had a friend in high school who I knew was a believer. And one day I felt so compelled to just get this weight off my shoulders. So this was like this thing that it was just all consuming.
And it was a big thing in your life.
It was. In fact, the summer before I talked to this particular friend, this was the summer before my sophomore year of high school. It was all I did every day. It was just, you know, it was how I passed the time. And
was this, I know today that internet pornography is so huge.
Right.
Was that?
It was internet. Yes, it was internet-based. Early on, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Early on, sadly, it was my friend's dad's magazines under their beds. Mm-hmm. And we just knew which friends had those dads, and we went over there. But then at some point, it became a computer at the house. And I had access in my room, you know, and it was a really dangerous thing. It was unfiltered. My parents didn't have a grid for that mm-hmm. going on.
Do you think they were aware that you were?
I don't know. I don't know. I think now a parent would have to have a sense of, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a reality. But, you know, the internet was just starting to catch on back
right.
then. It was definitely not like a thing that I think my parents thought was really happening in that context.
So for you at that, as a teenage kid, was it a love-hate thing? You loved it, but you didn't love it?
That's a great question. I think before Christ, I was all about it. Mm-hmm. I had no problem with it. You know, in fact, a lot of my friendships were established over that. You know, it was like, oh, we both enjoy that. We had this in common. But it was that summer before my sophomore year that it was the first time that I felt a hollowness. I look back now and I say that it was the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin and working on my heart. But it was that first time that
and
I
felt
like—
And what a gift from him, that hollowness is.
Yeah.
You realize this can't fill me.
No doubt that God would care for me that much to give me a sense of that
mm-hmm.
and to give me a friend in high school that had the only hope for me, the gospel. And we were walking home from school the first week of school, my sophomore year, and I just unloaded on him. You know, I have to tell you this, and I've never really told anybody except the guys that I look at it with, you know, and I just broke. I started weeping. You know, I never cried over this thing, but the Spirit was just heavily convicting me. And we made it to his house, and, you know, it's funny, just you grow up in America, in Texas, where everybody's a Christian, you know, your atheists are Christian in Texas. Everybody has a sense of, you know, the cross and Christ. And yet I never knew what the cross was for. I never knew it for anything more than just being something you wear around your neck. And my friend unpacked for me what Jesus' sacrifice meant, that it atoned for the evil that I was talking about. He absorbed my deserved wrath, took it upon himself, and he offers me pardon and his righteousness. And it blew my mind. I just never heard anything like that. And I remember I went home that day and just, it was just one of those line in the sand moments where it's like, God, I want you. If that's true, if what I heard today is true, I want that. And I had, you know, wow. At that time I burned a bunch of like CDs, discs, you know, that sort of thing. And I just remember breaking them in my room, shattering them. And it was funny, the memory, because they were really kind of cheap DVDs, and when you shattered them, the film on it exploded into confetti. Like it wasn't just like it snapped in half. It was, so there's like this party in my room, right, of that going on. And I just, and that was the moment for me, 15 years old, where I, God rescued me and changed my appetite. So post that, now I'm starting to, I'm still, there's the struggles there, but it's now this thing that I don't want this anymore. And I feel for the first time a war within me, you mm-hmm. know, the flesh and the spirit war with each other. You don't do what you want, like Paul says. Sadly, you know, it took 4 years to really see that decisive victory. And that really didn't come till college for me. And I think the reason that I was able to start walking in some freedom is because I began to understand something about the gospel that I don't think I understood at first. You know, a lot of times when we're saved, that initial moment, it's definitely a sense of, I want to be with God in heaven. I don't want my sins to be counted against me in the day of judgment. I want to be free from that. It's definitely like a flee from wrath, flee to Christ thing. Sure. But I didn't have near the sense, as I started to over those next 4 years of discipleship, of Christ is more for me than just a get out of hell free card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's more for me than just a saving from future punishment. He is my satisfier. He's more than just, I've heard one preacher say, just a vial of blood. Just take this blood. That's all you need. And, you know, and like, that's the antidote. He is bread. You know, he calls himself new wine and living water and the bread of life. And when I began to realize that Christianity wasn't just about not going to hell and going to heaven, but it was about getting access to the only one for whom my heart was designed to enjoy fully and be satisfied in, everything changed.
And that journey of seeing Christ as satisfier has been something important in my own life, though pornography has not been a struggle for me personally. I know it has been for many women, though, but even in my own wrestle, that's the antidote. Often is Jesus my all in all? Is he my satisfier? And when he is, those, you know, the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So
this relates to a lot of issues,
yes,
that we
does.
Face in our struggle with sin, in being tempted. It's, yes, not just in sexual matters, so certainly there.
Mm-hmm.
But food can be,
yes,
what we look to for satisfaction, or friendships, or relationships, or marriage, or children, or whatever,
yes,
job.
Mm-hmm. And I think the struggle, though, with sexual sin struggles, and part of what makes them so hard to get rid of is the shame element for them,
yeah,
which in some elements, it is an appropriate shame, right? We should feel shame for sin. But when it keeps it hidden and in the dark, we find no freedom. And Christ is our satisfier, but we can't walk that journey alone. And so like Jimmy confessing to his friend on the way home, there's a confession element. There's a confessing to a person that is liberating. And so I know pornography is often seen as a man's struggle, and so women, because of that, often feel an additional sense of shame when they struggle with that, because they don't have just normal sin struggles. They have the sin struggles of a man. That's often how they feel. And a lot of times for women in my life, I'm encouraging them, you need to find safe places to talk about these things with, safe women in your church that you can confess that to, that you can ask for prayer for, because that will help give you people to fight alongside you, to fight for Christ to be your satisfier, to chase him. You can't do that in the dark by yourself. And so that, I think, is one of the biggest struggles for women dealing with pornography.
There's a lot of power in coming into the light.
Yes.
About any hidden area.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So as you were walking through this, Jimmy, and you'd come to know Jesus and you're finding him to be your satisfaction, was there anybody walking this path with you?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I was blessed with just a really great group of guys, roommates in college, who we were all believers, and we all were fighting for the same thing. You know, 100% of us were struggling with it. In fact, you know, we lead a college ministry at our church, and I would say, at least when it comes to the guys I interact with, it's almost 100% situation there too. Just it, that is the wrestle. That's the temptation. The access is there. But having guys to fight alongside me who can pray for me and I them was a massive thing. I don't think it was possible for me to find lasting freedom without doing that in the context of community.
What else was a part of that journey for you?
Yeah. You know, it's. I think it's important to say this because I've seen it a lot in the guys that I've fought alongside for freedom from pornography, and also in my college context a lot. I see this a lot. There is a way to fight against sexual sin and sin in general that can actually be misguided and even sinful in itself. And that is when we make the goal only about getting free from this particular hangup. Like the way that it's the verbiage in my context when I'm, you know, ministering to these college guys is, oh, hey, man, it's been 3 weeks since I've got on the internet, or it's been, you know, 5 weeks. And that's the celebration. That's the end goal for them.
The behavior.
And the behavior, yeah. Mm-hmm. As if getting that under control is somehow pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. And it was really surprising for me to share with them that that's not actually the main aim of Christ in freeing you from this, and them being surprised by that. But mm-hmm. it's not the main aim. Mm-hmm. That is an aim, but that's not the whole thing. You know, you can become pornography free and now be really boastful and prideful that you were able to white knuckle your way through it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
it kind of reminds me of the Pharisees.
No doubt. Clean on the outside, right, but inside full of dead men's bones.
Mm-hmm. I think that is really tapping into what is the goal of repentance? What is repentance? That repentance isn't primarily a turning away from something. It's what you're turning to. It's a returning to someone. And so to just flee the sin without fleeing to Christ is not actually repentance. It's just behavior modification. But it's in running to Jesus that is the primary goal, coming to him. And that will sort out the sin issues, but without running to Christ, we've missed the point.
Well, and that's exactly what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lusts, so there's the fleeing, mm-hmm. but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's a both and. You run from sin, but you run mm-hmm. to the Savior. You run to righteousness.
And it's interesting, you were telling me when we were talking about this earlier that as the Lord was dealing with you, it wasn't just the pornography issue.
That's right. There were
other lust issues that weren't necessarily sexual. You said food was a big deal.
That's right. So I've dealt with gluttony and obesity for years and years. But when I was in high school, I was about 260 pounds, and I'm not an extremely tall guy, and it was a real issue for me. And, you know, it was interesting when God started to liberate me from pornography addiction, I started to lose weight without even knowing it. And what I've come to realize upon reflection is there is some sort of link, I feel like, between just those sort of like lusts of the flesh, you know, like me giving into my appetites, when I begin to be satisfied, finding my appetites satisfied in Christ, it rights 1,000 wrongs, not just one specific one.
Yeah.
And so I remember I didn't do a diet program. I didn't do anything like that. In fact, I didn't even know I was losing weight until I had to go to the doctor for like a physical one day, and I got on the scale and I was 38 pounds lighter than I was the last time I went to the doctor. And I that's why my pants aren't fitting. Right? I ended up losing 70 pounds in the process without a diet. And I'm not saying diets aren't profitable or there's not wisdom in that, but what I am saying is—
There was a heart issue there.
It was a heart issue. It was me. In hindsight, I see it as I was running to food. I was running to internet pornography. I was running to all these things to satiate what only Christ could do. And when I found Christ to be as sweet as he was, those other things started to right themselves. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I did nothing in those areas, but if we don't get the main part right, you can white knuckle it all day with the other things. And it mm-hmm. just, you won't see lasting, consistent freedom.
And I think that speaks to the role of maybe a spouse who is living with somebody struggling with those lusts of the flesh things. And I think, especially with pornography, I know it can feel really hurtful as a wife to hear your husband struggling with that.
And you've had women talk to you about this.
I do. I think because Jimmy's so public about that struggle and hoping to see both men and women be free, mm-hmm. I get a lot of those side emails to go, oh, mm-hmm. so you probably understand this. Though that hasn't been something that's been current in our marriage, I know that they at least have a context of you understand the insecurity that comes with that or the fears that come with that or all these other things. And a lot of times what's really difficult is these women will put themselves in a position of enemy of their spouse, that in being hurt, they lash back in response. And I think there is an appropriate feeling of hurt and grief that I think women need to grieve, that it is hard when your spouse is stuck in a sin struggle that does affect your marriage. And so grief is healthy and normal. But the thing that will change that sin struggle is Christ, like Jimmy's saying, is heart transformation, is repentance. And none of those things are things that as wives we can do for our husband. And in some ways, they need to deal with the Lord, and we need to partner with them to help them deal with the Lord. And so to get in the process and become an enemy to your spouse in that
is counterproductive.
Very counterproductive. Yeah. And I think—
But to come alongside and say, I'm getting under this burden, I'm getting under this load with you, mm-hmm. let's together get to Christ.
Totally. And I don't want anybody to hear me say that means if your husband comes and confesses this to you, that you need to put on a happy face and say, it's okay, I forgive you. And really what's happening in your heart is grief. I think it's helpful for them to hear, this is grieving me. This hurts me. This mm-hmm. causes things in me that weren't there before. I feel insecure now. I feel like you've been lying to me. Like, there is a place for that honest sharing, and even a place to say, can we talk about this tomorrow? I just need a day to just process right now, because I'll probably say things I don't mean. Like, mm-hmm. there may be a place for that. But at the end of the day, that you get other women next to you to support you and going, you need to work toward forgiveness. That's your role as a Christian is forgiveness, and also partnership along with your spouse. And recognizing that their sin is primarily against God mm-hmm. more than it is against you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so the need for repentance is primarily toward God. And then secondarily, there's a place for, you know, apologies and repentance towards you as a spouse, but they won't be able to fight that battle without you. And so if you really want them to be free, you have to be able to come alongside as a partner in that. And that's a hard thing. I just know hearing that there are probably women thinking, there's no way I can do that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you can't apart from the strength God provides. And so if it forces you onto your knees, say, God, I cannot come alongside my husband in this. I have no strength to do that. Please help me. That's a great place to begin. And that you would begin sharing with other women honestly and asking them to help you come alongside and help your husband. Because that's what they need. They need a wife who's going to fight that battle alongside them.
And if that continues to be a battle, as it is for many women, where their husband is not even moving toward freedom, not moving toward Christ, what's the hope for that wife?
Yeah. I think, you know, we talked about this earlier, but in some of the hardest and most despairing seasons of our lives, it has forced us to answer the question, is Christ enough? And a lot of times my answer in those really hard seasons has been, no, I don't believe that. I believe I need Christ plus my marriage to look this way. I need Christ plus children plus all these other things to be okay. And it really forces us with that decision when we don't see change happening. And I think in marriages too, when we feel like there's no end in sight, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, the question arises in the heart, is Christ enough? He said he is. And I think that is a great place to begin, is talking to God about those things. I mean, even confessing, I don't feel like you're enough, God. I don't understand why you're doing this, and drawing near to him with questions and wrestling through that. But as Jimmy said earlier, when we have Christ and nothing else, we have everything. And so I think there is a real hope for joy in the presence of God. That's where the fullness of joy is. It's not in a healthy marriage, even. The fullness of joy is in the presence of God. Peace is in the presence of God. We have covenant faithfulness that when it's missing on earth, it is accessible to us through Christ and through our marriage with him as the bride of Christ. So there are so many things to hope in and to look to, but that's a battle to fight to put your hope there. It is not an easy one. And in my personal experience, requires hours of wrestling with God and in prayer and in the Word and with other people, not doing that alone. But there is a lot of hope. And God says he's able to change the heart. He's able to humble those who walk in pride. His arm is not so short that it cannot save. And so in the earthly circumstances, there is always hope for change, but it rests in God. And we have to wait on him for that.
I watched a really dear friend of mine wrestle through this when her husband was struggling with this as it came to light in his marriage in relation to pornography. And for her, this became a fighting for grace, fighting for joy, fighting for leaning into her husband and into her marriage when he wasn't there yet. I was with that wife not long ago, and I just see what God has done in her life, in his life, and in their marriage. It didn't happen quickly. Didn't happen overnight, but it has been and is very sweet today. And I think both of them would say worth the battle.
Yes.
Both partners in that marriage have a battle.
That's right.
He may be battling this sexual addiction, this lust of the flesh, but your battle as a wife may be battling for joy, for covenantal contentment and perseverance in that marriage.
Yes.
And if there were no battle for you and only a battle for him, how would you understand his need for grace?
Right.
And how would you understand his need for a Savior if you don't have a need for a Savior, too?
That's right.
So there can well be a battle going not between each other. That's what you don't want to be the battle.
That's right.
Where you become his enemy and he becomes the opponent. But you're battling together, fighting for grace.
That's Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth talking to Jimmy and Kelly Needham about a temptation that's so prevalent in our day for both men and women. In a moment, Kelly will be back to pray. How'd that conversation make you feel? Slightly uncomfortable? Pornography is not an easy topic to address, but it's one we simply can't ignore. As Nancy mentioned earlier, Jimmy and Kelly have written some helpful blog posts on this subject, and you can find links to some of those on reviveourhearts.com. Let me say that finding freedom from sin begins with knowing the truth. According to Psalm 119:11, when we hide God's word in our hearts, his truth equips us to fight temptation and win. And this is why we so often encourage you to read the Bible for yourself and to meditate on Scripture. Right now, we're offering a resource that's an excellent way to get the truth into your mind and your heart. It's Nancy's new Advent devotional called Born a Child and Yet a King. As the Christmas season draws closer, we want to get this book into your hands so that beginning right on December 1st, you can actively pursue the wonder of the gospel. You know those familiar Christmas songs that you sing by memory? It's easy to hear them and sing them without really thinking about what they're saying. In this devotional, you'll hear these songs in a different way as the gospel message gets ingrained into your heart and mind. It's part of Nancy's Advent book trilogy, and it's only available here from Revive Our Hearts. We'd like to send you this brand new Advent devotional as our way of saying thank you when you make a donation to continue the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. You can make that gift online at reviveourhearts.com or by phone at 1-800-569-5959. Just make sure you ask for a copy of Nancy's new Advent book. That number is 1-800-569-5959. Finally, if you're struggling with a pornography addiction, would you commit today to seek help from a trusted friend or counselor? We really were not made to fight our sin on our own. God's word instructs us that he's given us the body of Christ to fight along beside us. Jimmy spent years unable to say no to temptation, but has seen the power of God transform his life. Tomorrow, he and Kelly return to remind us that it is possible to find freedom from this seemingly irresistible temptation. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Now, here are Nancy and Kelly to close today's program.
It's been a beautiful thing to see the grace of God in both of your lives in this huge area, but in other areas as well, the hard things, the tempting things, the failing things, the areas of confusion or difficulty that you've wrestled through, but to see you get to Christ and to see Him be enough for you. And I know we have listeners who've been stirred by your story, they've been encouraged, they've been challenged, and maybe making some hard choices or decisions, thinking through some hard things, how this applies in their lives, how they can experience the grace of Christ. And Kelly, as we wrap today, I wonder if you would just pray for our listeners, and maybe a woman struggling with a sexual addiction, maybe a woman in a marriage where her husband is battling that. But let's just together lift our listeners up to the throne of God's grace and ask Him to show mercy and grace. That's what the scripture says, to come boldly before the throne of grace so we may receive mercy, which we all need. It's not just my husband who needs it. I need it. And then grace to help us in our time of need. So lead us in praying for our listeners, if you would.
I'd be honored. Father, thank You that You are not a distant God and that You came near to us through Christ, that You allowed Yourself to enter into our world and experience all the temptations we face, that Jesus, You said, it says about You that You have been tempted in every way that we have been. So there is no temptation that You have not felt. And so You understand the heaviness of that pull. And You succeeded, Jesus.
Yes.
You won in every single moment, and You offer us that perfect righteousness, that perfect track record of fleeing every time. You offer it to anyone who would call on Your name. And so for those struggling in sexual sin right now, God, I pray that You would allow faith to rise up in their hearts, that You offering righteousness is a real thing, that You actually offer perfect righteousness through Christ for all who believe on Your name. And that You would give a humility to receive that to those who are struggling, that they would come with empty hands and thank You for that offer, and that they would really believe that it is true, that all those who are in Christ have become the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
And so I just pray that You would encourage the weary, encourage the weak, those who are struggling in sin. And the reality is we all struggle in sin. And, and so even the wives in the room who are feeling defeated by sins of their spouse, that and there is a hardening of hearts that's tempting in that moment. There is a temptation to not be forgiving, to withhold forgiveness where You have commanded it of us, God. There are plenty of temptations on that side of the fence as well. And You again, Jesus, have defeated every one of them. And so I pray for the wives in the room who are just discouraged by the struggles of their husbands, that You would lighten the load by showing Your perfect track record, that You are the only one that can be faithful to that wife perfectly, and You are, and that they would grow in love for You, a desire for You, and that You would allow them by Your strength and Your grace to overcome every temptation, to harden their hearts toward their husband, to be to give up in fighting alongside them. God, would You strengthen those women to humble themselves, to extend forgiveness and grace, and to battle alongside as a partner with their husbands. God, that is an impossible task unless You come in. So our eyes are on You. We don't always know what to do, but we look to You, Jesus, and we say, You are a very present help in need, and we have access to You through Your blood. And so thank You, God. Just I pray that You would keep us going to You and running to You in every moment, every minute that we need You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants you to experience the freedom found in knowing Jesus. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.